Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
Listen to the words of this wonderful song. Someone said it was written on the wall in a prison. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from His sin. And the chorus, O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. Listen as it's sung.
Bye.
Reading from Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So far we read God's perfect word. Let's pray that we'll have an understanding of it. As Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount, be ye perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. If we could do these things rightly, perfectly, what a different world, and what a different church, and what different homes we would have. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus, thy Son. He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. There is none other name but his name, the name of Jesus, whereby we can be saved. No other name on earth, no other name under heaven or in heaven. And we pray, Father, in his name, that we might be taught, first of all, to use that name rightly, not to take thy name or his name in vain. In lightness, we pray, Father, that we might through him have an understanding of all of this word, these things both to do, to hear, to believe. We pray that thou wilt make us do in word and deed what is right. The church teaching again in word, the truth, calling the world to the gospel of Christ, calling the world to repentance toward thee and faith toward Christ. We pray that thou wilt revive the church, awaken the church, that it might do these things according to thy word, according to thy bidding, as thou hast commanded us many times, many places, both through direct teaching and also by the example of others, the examples of the churches, the examples of Israel. And we pray, Father, that we might learn from these things rightly, that we might do as the church at Corinth did, have a godly sorrow over our sin, that we might do as Daniel did in the Old Testament, saying, we and our fathers have sinned. To us belongeth confusion of face, as it is this day. And then stating, when I was confessing my sin, Lord, you did give him an answer. You did give him blessing. And we pray that we might seek that blessing in the same way as Daniel did. We pray, Father, that we might know these things as thou didst teach him, many things of the present that others could not know, many things for the future that some of them, even Daniel, did not understand and was told to be shut up unto the end. Father, one day thou wilt reveal all these things to us, either by thy word or the unfolding of them. We think of the apostles, having heard from thee, Lord Jesus, of thy suffering, death, burial, resurrection. But they did not understand it, did not believe it while it was happening, did not even believe it after it happened. Help us to see that if they could be an ignorant, so can we, both of what has happened, what is happening, and what will happen in the future. And we pray that thou wilt lead us by faith to do thy will, to give glory to thy name. And then also, Father, by faith, to do that which is right for our neighbor, and that we will also stop opposing ourselves in our individual lives, in our homes, and in the nation, all through Christ. We pray, Father, also for the temporal needs of those in sickness, injury, the homeless, the war-torn lands, the persecuted, the hungry, the many suffering in so many ways, when we are so blessed here. We pray, Father, for the schools to be taught that they might teach the truth once again of history, that in the beginning Thou didst create the heavens and the earth. They are the work of Thy hands, and Thou art our Maker. And we give thanks that Thou art also our Sustainer, not only physically, but we pray that Thou wilt be our Sustainer even in this hour now, through faith in Christ. Amen. As we continue here, we have not only the ongoing command of Christ, but referring to the past. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. The present time. And then the past. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That's part of our entrance into the kingdom of God. Forgiveness, pardon for our sin, justification that needs to be preached, needs to be believed, needs to be experienced. It was there in the Reformation. Justification by faith came to the forefront over against justification by works. We are justified only by faith in another, only what Christ has done in his suffering, death, and resurrection. We must rightly state those things, rightly experience those things, and then that not only the church will be revived in it, coming back to the truth more and more, remembering not only that if we are truly God's children, we have that beginning, but to come back and not lose that first love as the church at Ephesus did, go so quickly away from it as the church at Galatia did, and Paul could say to them, "Who hath bewitched you? Were you justified by faith or by the works of the law?" Different people had crept in there, and they had bewitched them. And Paul put a curse on them. He said, "Cursed is anyone that brings any other gospel than the gospel of Christ." He said it twice in the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Galatians. And so we must keep in a right place. As Christ forgave you, are you forgiven? Have you confessed your sins? Have you cried out, "Lord, forgive me for all the sins of the past and the present"? That's what we need to do. We read in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Going on to the fifth chapter, we read in the first verse, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." On the day of Pentecost, they were pricked in their hearts. There was no peace. They cried out, "What must we do?" Peter's answer was, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." So your sins will be taken away. Yes, they were taken away. And with a promise, Father, he says, "And you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." He would witness with our spirit that sins had been forgiven. Don't stop till you have that witness. Justified by faith. Some confessions teach that assurance is not of the essence of salvation. There's been debates on that between people, between groups. But I believe it is a necessity that we cry out to God and we repent, acknowledging our sin until we have rightly acknowledged them to God, and then they will be forgiven. If one was in debt to someone for $100, if you'd go and say, "Forgive me for that $50, what do you think would happen? That person might shake his head and walk away. $50? You owe me 100. If we only confess a few sins, God may hide his face from us too. We're still in pride. We don't acknowledge all our sin. We won't have too many sins, but we may come with too few in confession when there's more that we don't want to admit, that we don't want to search the scriptures to see how they are in thought, word, and deed. And then after that, it's very important. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That may be somewhat of a complicated procedure. Christ said, your brother sin against you, go and tell him between him and thee alone. If he hear thee, you've gained your brother. If he doesn't hear you, take with you one or two more, that every word may be established. And if he doesn't hear them, then tell it to the church. It may be hard to forgive if a person denies that he sinned, or doesn't want to listen, doesn't want to confess, doesn't want to make reconciliation. But Christ on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He is our pure and great, wonderful example. Let's pray that we'll know how to take these words to heart. When the Lord Jesus taught us the prayer, the wonderful, perfect prayer, beginning with our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, satisfied with that, not coveting, and then forgive us our debts as we forgive those that are indebted to us. Christ refers back to just one petition in that prayer after he finished giving it. If we don't forgive those that are indebted to us, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us. Solemn words, true words, true words. Take them to heart. There's much unforgiveness in our land, in the home, much in the subject that we won't probably get to today. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And then children in their relation to parents and parents to children. Many times, there's not forgiveness. Not even between husbands and wives, one flesh. Not between parents and children born of their own flesh. It's a sad day. We are living in that day of perilous times when men are proud, lovers of self, covetous, boasters, boasting one against another. I read this week of describing one group of people in our society against another and said, it isn't even worth talking to that other group. How high-minded they are. When God says, be not high-minded, but fear. We must talk one to another. As I mentioned last week, in regard to some things that happened when my wife was sick, there should have been discussion. There should have been listening. Or we have, as I do, regret. And that fits in every area. Sickness, husbands and wives, spiritual things, and between the older and the younger generation. There's a gap with parents and children. There's a gap in singing. What we want is song, the old-fashioned hymns, or contemporary music. There's, sadly, a great division. Someone just told me today that when some songs are sung, some of the people don't sing. They just stand there. They don't care to sing songs that are more fleshly than spiritual. We read here, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Maybe we need a lot of forgiveness there too. Then going on to the next verse, verse 14, we talked about that last week. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. If it's above all things, certainly, we ought to speak of it much. We need to do it all the time. I think we are too sporadic. We are too formalistic. We're too much Sunday Christians, church Christians, not everyday Christians, all the time Christians, in everything Christians. They were first called Christian in Antioch, we may believe, because they followed Christ, because they saw Christ in them, in their everyday life. And that's what we need. And one of the things, as Christ said to his apostles before his death, and there he didn't really talk of his death so much as what they were to do. That evening, after they had the Lord's Supper, went to the Garden of Gethsemane, Christ told them again and again and again, as recorded in John chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16, before we read his prayer in chapter 17. Chapter 13, we read 34, verse 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." And then what does he say? "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Not necessarily by our words. We might be called a hypocrite if we have right words, but wrong deeds. And we are hypocrites. We don't practice what we preached. "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." That comes out also in his prayer. After all this conversation, he tells them a number of times. He tells them here in this 13th chapter, right after the Lord's Supper. He tells them again, the 15th chapter, 12th verse, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Again, a little bit later in that chapter. And then in the 17th chapter, doesn't really mention so much love, but oneness. And there has to be love to have oneness. After they had the Lord's Supper, they were described as arguing among themselves who was the greatest. Pride, but certainly not love. Love thinketh no evil. Love isn't puffed up. We read last week 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Listen to his words that were prayed four times in John chapter 17. He prayed earlier for the apostles that they would be one. Then he stated in verse 20, "Neither a prayer for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." That's every believer today. Every true believer will read some of the words of the apostles, their deeds and acts, their letters, Paul, John, Peter, James, all writing, all their words for us, God's word through them for us. He says, "Shall believe on me through their word." And then what is his prayer for them, for us, today? It was there all through the years. Those that heard the apostles already in the first person, Paul preaching here, there, and many other places. In the Reformation day, that was true also. But they didn't listen. Listen to what Christ prayed for. "That they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Very much the same message as we read in the 13th chapter. After Christ had given them the Lord's Supper, he took a towel and wrapped it around him and washed their feet, humbled himself, and he said, "That's a pattern for you." But listen again. "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, so also love you one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." If you are one in love, and if you love each other so much, you can be one. Then the world will know through the church, through its actions, through its oneness in doctrine, that God has sent his Son into the world People have all kinds of excuses. I find very few people that are even interested in hearing that prayer. Oh, that won't happen. Or some say, well, it has happened. We're all one in Christ. The world doesn't know that. The world knows we're very divided, terribly divided. Yes, the world knows it. One time I talked to a young person who had mother had gone to church, but he left the church. And he said, if I go back, which one should I go to? All these dozens of different churches. Well, what do you tell a young person like that? Go to mine. Well, what about the rest? Why are they divided? Why are they different? Why do they carry the name of men? Luther, Calvin, Wesley. I thought it was the Church of Christ. Some carry that name. I'm not sure they carry his doctrine. I've met people that didn't. People that tried to convince me of a different believing than I experienced and believe the Scripture teaches, and found out that even by their own confession, that they didn't have the witness of the Spirit. They just did what they thought was right in their tradition. And when asked, didn't you then know you were saved? One answered, well, no, I must have done these things wrong. Did them over? So did you then, the second time, realize that you had the witness of the Spirit? No, then I thought I must have done it right the first time. We will never do anything right. If left to believing in the Lord Jesus is up to us, we won't do it right. He has to be the author and the finisher of our faith. Paul said, he revealed his Son in me. We live by the faith of the Son of God as well as the faith in the Son of God. You can read it in Romans 3. You can read it in Philippians. You can read it in Galatians. Of the faith of Christ. Not all the versions have that, but the right versions do have that. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Galatians 3, we read, shut up under the law to the faith afterwards revealed. Read it. Ephesians 2, verse 8, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Some people like to say, oh, faith isn't a gift. Yes, it is. There was a day I didn't have it. I couldn't reach it. Couldn't believe it. God had to show me more sin when I started to ask if I'm not saved. Then save me. Give me faith. Let me know. God showed me sin. More sin. More sin. You read the same thing in Pilgrim's Progress of John Bunyan, Hopeful's Conversion. He asked, did he enter the first time? No, not the first. Not the second. Not the third. Not the fourth either. What'd you do then? He stayed there. Then he says, one day I was sadder than ever before. I saw a greater sight of my sin. And then God gave him Christ. And Christian could say to Hopeful, that truly was a revelation of Christ to your heart. Have you had a revelation of Christ to your heart as a lost sinner before God?
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.